Okay. Shkoach. All right, so B'siyata D'Shmaya, we have two topics to wrap up the second of the three semesters in Hilchos Nida. We are wrapping up Simin Kuf Tzadi Vav, and the first topic we're going to start with, which will be a little shorter, is a topic of we're still discussing Shiva Nekiyim, and we will discuss the first 3 days of the Shiva Nekiyim and some halachic ramifications of the chumrah of the first 3 days of Shiva Nekiyim, and then the rest of the shiur we will discuss the phenomenon that we do not begin counting Shiva Nekiyim unless 5 full days are passed. And that's the din of Pleita Shichva Zera that we'll have in Sif Yud Aleph. So we'll be doing Sif in Yud and Yud Aleph. And of course, there are many important halacha lemaisa things that emerge from this. The Mechaber tells us in Sif Yud, Hashiv Nekiyim, Tzar Shi Ritzufim, Shelo Tira Dam Bohem, Shim Rasa Dam, Afilu Besof Yom Hashvi'i, Sasra Kol Hayom Tzricha Lifsot Bitar V'lachsa V'limno Shiv Nekiyim. So as we've discussed in the past, if there is a Re'iyas Dam that contradicts the Shiva Nekiyim, so then in such a case, she has to start all over. The Ramo comments, Yesh Omrim, Dibishlosha Yom Rishon Shal Yimei Asvira, Ein Tolden Oso Lahakel, Kemosha Tolden Shark Samim, Dishlosha Yom Rishon Tzrichalios Nekiyim Legamri. The stringency that the Ramo quotes from the Sefer HaTrumah and the Mardachi is that the first 3 days are more chamur than the rest of the Shiva Nekiyim, to the point that there are tlios that we would normally allow for in certain instances that we don't allow for during the Shiva Nekiyim. Before we discuss those instances, let's see the lumdus of it in the words of the Rama in the Darkei Moshe. I first noticed it in the language of the Chachmas Adam, and then I saw it's not the Chachmas Adam that said it, the Rama himself. In the Darkei Moshe, in Aleph Star, in the Kuf Tzadi Vav, so he says, "B'mordechi hilchos nida im sofer shiva nekiyim mistavra mishlosha yomim ve'elach haksam tahorim im yesh pamet litlos b'maka o b'chabura o b'tzibar ve'ena soseres avot tzricha leida bivadai sheposak dam hamikor legamim." L'chein l'kach tzarech shiya gimel yom rishonim shel sviras nekiyim tahorim Ligamri. The language over here is that you need to have leida bivadai shepasuk dam hamikar. So the way I would like to formulate it, I haven't seen this spelled out in the Svarim. You let me know if you think that this is correct or if anybody says this, is that on a certain level, this Mordechi is introducing the idea that the Shiva Nekiyim has two parts to it. The first 3 days are really an extension of the Hefsek Tahara. It's an extension of the Hefsek Tahara. And your Hefsek Tahara is not fully complete until the first 3 days you've proven that you're Naki Lagami. So therefore, continues back into the Rama. The Rama continues. And he says that we're not Tola Shark Samim. What does that mean? We're not Tola Osol by Shark Samim. So we're going to have a long Shach that's going to discuss, then it could very well be that by Makkah, that we normally have a Tliya of Makkah, as we learned in Kuf Pezayin, over here, we won't have the Tliya of Makkah. Why? Because it's a Tliya. At the end of the day, when you have something where there isn't a Hargasha, so you have Dam in front of you, L'churi should be Machmir, but we're Tola. But when could we be Tola? When we have reason to be Tola. But if we haven't proven that the woman has blood has stopped entirely, and that's the understanding of how we look at these first 3 days, so in such a case, you lose your tlius. The Rama then continues, and he says, skipping a line, V'dafke kesem shu yoser kegris va'od. This chumrah was only meant to be said in regards to if the bleeding was larger than the size of a gris. So the makkah is going to be a problem. But when it comes to a stain where you could be tola bikina, if it's less than a penny, In such a case, you could be mekel. And now the Ramah controversially continues, and he says, "V'hu adinim ha'yil amaka begufa v'yodas shemotzi adam tolaba afil biyosem ikigris va'od." He says, if you have a maka, then that's not enough. But if you could document that the maka is motzi adam, so then in such a case, that would enough be enough of a tliya. So it's this in-between ground. On the one hand, you have to show that she is posekes legamri, that she's bleeding, and therefore tlios aren't going to work to be told on a maka. But if you reach the point where you know that the maka is motzi adam, so then in such a case one could be mekel. There is a long shach that claims that these lines of the Ramah are erroneous, and basically the shach disagrees, and he says even a maka shemotzi adam yodua that's motzi adam, you would have to be machmir. Kimdumani, the world is mekel, I believe. Ask around if my impression is correct. But my impression is that the world is mekel, that if it's a maka that's yodua shemotzi adam, so then in such a case, they're mekel even in the gimel yomim harishonim. Interestingly, the shach has one exception. The shach says the shach has two different levels of maka shemotzi adam. He says, what is a maka shemotzi adam? A day or two ago, someone called me up and said that his wife is bleeding, and the bodeket said that that's exactly what's going to happen. She's going to bleed. This is a maka that's motzi adam. So that's one level. And here we have machlokas between the Ramah and the Shach, if it will be in the first 3 days of the Shivnikim. Then you have another level, and says the Shach, not that the bodeket says it, but it's something that the maka itself, the nature of the maka is something that's constantly oozing blood. So if you take a look at the end of the shach, we're going to conveniently skip all the way to the end of the shach, where the shach says, "Avol muka shchin the kol shah yotzim menu dam damil makolas." He says something. If you have a boil, so then in such a case, that boil that is constantly emitting, it's oozing out, even if it's blood, not just pus, then in such a case, then the shach would agree. But outside of that, the shach is machmir. As I said, kimdumani, the minhag ha'olam is to be mekel. A very fascinating application of this din of the shloshim yom harishonim is found in Rav Moshe's tshuvas. If you take a look in chelek gimel, it's in our booklet, it's the second page. In Chelek Gimel Simen Nun Hei, at the end of the tshuva, I might have already referenced this tshuva previously, because this tshuva is also about colors, but here Ramesha talks about the color of brown within the first 3 days of the Shiva Nikim. So if you take a look on the bottom of page Shin, V'hine yesh balei hora, she'av she'mekilim b'mare bron u'b'mare gel, machmir megimel yom rishon shel Shiva Nikim. So if you want the halacha l'maisa application of this, Ramesha says that on brown, there are many more hora who are machmir during the first 3 days of the Shiva Nikim. In other words, if it's during the regular, when she's not expecting her period, and it's not red, it's just brown, they'd be mekel. If it's the last 7 days of the Shiva Nikim, they'd be mekel. But they're machmir within the first 3 days. Ramesha has an interesting explanation of brown here that we didn't touch on last time. And he explains, he connects it to an issue of colors, as well as what we learned is the idea of the nature of these 7 days. So Rav Moshe continues, and he says, "Ubiarti." This is the first column on page Shin, 10 lines from the bottom. "Ubiarti hatam bazed." What did we learn in the Darche Moshe? That you're not sure that the dam really, really stopped in the first 3 days. So Ramesha says like this. Ramesha says, "Kolashan darke Moshe Hashem Baruch Tzeiach Leida shepasuk dam kol legarmi." The katzar shiugimor rishonim tzarim legarmi. Shelchein yeshlochu shema im yetsay dam mashu me'amikar lebeis achitzon shenit babazeh. Maybe this brown started out as red. Okay, v'sham nisarevim od mashkim levanim, and it got mixed with lighter colors. So Ramesha, this is a very cute, if you will, Ramesha. Ramesha, this is cute. Ramesha says like this. He says, what is brown? What do you have to worry about that brown is? Brown's not red. So says Ramesha, what you have to worry about when it comes to brown is that it started out as red, but it mixed with with whitish emissions, and then it loses its reddish, and it becomes brown. Just last night, someone brought me over a fascinating shaila in Kuf Pei Zayin. Someone brought me over a lubricant, and the lubricant, the person was choshesh, had the male had used the lubricant on himself, but he was choshesh that it was from blood that had come out in Tashmish, and the lubricant was now a reddish color. That was the person's concern. He brought it over to me. I said, it's not red. There's nothing to worry about. You're fine. But why am I mentioning this? Because what will happen when you have blood that goes onto a whitish lubricant, what's going to happen is you're going to have a lighter color. I didn't think there was anything to worry about at all. It was clearly not, it was even less than Ramosha's brown. So Ramosha says like this, he says, what was the lomdus of the first 3 days? The first 3 days, the way in which it worked was what? The first three days was that we're not sure that all of the blood has stopped. So if that's so, there might be a little bit of red that's left, but it gets mixed into lighter color, and says Ramosha, therefore, these poskim are machmir on brown. Many poskim if it's not notel ad mumis, are makel even on brown during the first 3 days. But this is a very important shuva from Ramosha in this regard. So it fits. Ramosha points out the same thing that we pointed out in terms of language of the Darche Moshe, and he applies it in a very interesting way. Yes, Sam.
We're discussing the first 3 days of the Shevanekiyim after what we're going to end up saying is the whole Hafsakarim.
Correct. You when you say after, you mean after the 6 days, right. The six onos that we're going to get to. Actually, this is going to get you walked us into our next point. You might have walked us into. I don't think you meant to do what you just did, but it's actually very exciting.
It's like connected or related.
We're about to see a Dagla Mervava that makes a little bit of your point. I think that's what you're right. It works nicely with what you're saying now. So Dagla Mervava in Os Zayin says as follows. V'im soferes nikiim al kesem shematza. Im matza achakach kesem begimel yomim rishonim ayin be'evene ezer. So the Dagla Mervava tells us the following. He says that if she soferes nikiim on a kesem, and then she finds in the first 3 days. So I think what the Dagla Mervava is saying is as follows. We learned that the halacha, we're going to learn that the halacha is that a woman needs to wait 5 days because of poleta shechvazera. So says the Dagla Mervava, if she already was waiting 3 days as it is, then you don't have the next chumrah of the first 3 days of the Shiva Nikim. That's what the Dagla Mervava says. I saw this spelled out nicely in the Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan spells this out a little bit more clearly in Kuf Tzadi Vav Lamed Dalet. The Aruch HaShulchan says as follows, Amnam, Hani Nishidi Dan, Demaschilin Lisbar Biyom Vav Liriyasa. So when our women, we're going to learn, we're going to discuss in detail, our women, now we're not going to work on the details, but we'll just take it as the fact. The fact is that if a woman bleeds on day stops bleeding, let's call it on the Rosh Chodesh, on the first day of the month. Nevertheless, she could only begin counting Shiva Nikiyim 5 full days after the onset of her period. And the reason for that is that we're afraid that there's going to be, if she had Tashmish on that night, then in such a case, there will be pleitas shechvazera, as we'll elaborate shortly. So let's talk about our case. Our case is that a woman began to bleed on Rosh Chodesh, so she doesn't start her Shiva Nikiyim until the 6th of that month. Now, says the Dagla Mervava, says the Aruch HaShulchan, they say as follows. So the first of her Shiva Nikiyim is already on day 6 of the month. day six of the month. When did the Ramah say that you have to be machmir and say that you have to be choshesh for the first 3 days? That's in a case of where you didn't have the chumrah of waiting 5 days before the Shemini Kiyum. So a normal woman, let's say, would bleed 3 days. So then, if she would bleed 3 days, when could she start her Shemini Kiyum? She could already start her Shemini Kiyum on day four, not day six. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, in such a case, then on day seven, you don't consider that the first of the 3 days. Because the 3 days already passed from day three. From day three when she stopped bleeding. Let's see the Aruch HaShulchan inside. Amram Hanishan Nidan, the Maschin Lispar B'yom Shishi, the Riyasan Nirun Dais Taiti, the Kivan She'avru Gimel Yomim, what he means by Yom Nikiyim means that on day four and day five, when she didn't see, but she couldn't start counting because Chazal told her, as we're going to learn in Sif Yud Aleph, she can't start counting. That could still count towards the Gimel Yomim Harishonim. Vidino shel Rabbeinu Harama hu berasa b'toch yimei sfirasa v'cheinim yosheves al ket nekuda. So the Rama was talking about a case where she saw the whole time. In other words, she bled through day four and day five. But a normal woman, if she only bleeds for 3 days, in such a case, you're going to be makel. Then he says, "V'cheinim yosheves al kesem yeshakel gam b'gimel yom rishonim." The same will apply if it's a kesem. In other words, she bled only for a short. She had a stain on day one. Yet, even though she had a stain for day one, we tell her she has to wait till day six. So says the Dogma Revava, says the Aruch HaShulchan, in such a case, then you the Chumrah of the Ramah, you will yotzei the Chumrah of the Ramah. But don't start the Chumrah on day six, start the Chumrah on day two, three, and four. So then you have that Chumrah, fine, you could be yotzei the Chumrah of the Ramah. What a brilliant Aruch HaShulchan. Yeah?
And if you see Dam on day two, would you count 3, 4, 5?
And you count 3, 4, 5? Exactly.
If you were to see Dam on day three, so then...
Then it would be 4, 5, 6.
The first day,
Lechura, that's what will come out. So now the Aruch HaShulchan speculates something very interesting. This is one of the reasons that the Sefer Aruch HaShulchan is beloved by Rabbanim who are dealing practically as well. The glory of the Aruch HaShulchan is he starts from the Sugya, and then he talks to the Rav about what the Minig HaMorim is. So you don't have that in most Svarim. Starting mamish from the sugya all the way to the hanhaga. So Aruch HaShulchan continues. He says, it's interesting, no one asks. When they get a shaila, when was the last time a Rav asked you, is it within the first 3 days? So Aruch HaShulchan says, why? He strokes his beard. He says, why? It's a beferish harama that says that you're supposed to. Ah. But according to our cheshbon, it works out well. Now, as Sam was talking about, I think most women do bleed for 3 or 4 days. So the Aruch HaShulchan really took care of 1 or 2 days. He didn't take care of all the days. That's what he adds in the last line. He says he thinks that most women stop bleeding already earlier. I don't think that's common today. My experience, is a word in statistics for it, not casual experience, but my anecdotal experience, thank you. In my anecdotal experience, I think most women do bleed into the fourth day. But the Aruch HaShulchan says maybe they only bleed for 2 days. And so then in such a case, day 3, 4, and 5, already you took care of this chumrah. This is a nice Aruch HaShulchan, a collector's item. Rav Miller Shlita, when he taught me this, so he mentioned that he thinks that in Eretz Yisrael Taka, the minug of the Morim is to ask when it is during the Shemini Kiyum that they do ask. But I actually, in again, the anecdotal experience, I don't think that, like when we do Maros and so on, most people don't ask that question, is it within the first 3 days of the Shemini Kiyum or not? So you have this fascinating Aruch HaShulchan based on Dogma Rebava. Yeah.
Yeah, not how the
Dogma Rava
would extend to the Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
There is still a difference in Matzah Kesem, where we never knew for sure that she had a Psichus HaMakar, versus Rosh Hashanah, where there was a Psichus HaMakar, just later on.
Right. Right, I hear what Rav Natan is saying. Rav Natan is pointing out, and even a raya to what you're saying is the Dogma Vava's raya. Maybe the Dogma Vava only said it by Kesem. Kesem itself wasn't a real Riyah as it is. But if you had a real Riyah, so again, what was the Lumdus? Lumdus says you got to show that it's Nifsak Lagamri, so then maybe the Dogma Vava would not go as far as the Aruch HaShulchan. This is a classic Aruch HaShulchan move, right, taking a Svara and then applying it. To bring a raya to what you're saying, is the Dogon Ravava's raya was from the Shach in Sifkat and Vav that he's making when it comes to Ksamim in regards to Mayim Pasuach. And here, the whole idea is similar to the idea of Mayim Pasuach. The first 3 days is really is taking the Chumrah of Mayim Pasuach and supercharging it. So then, in such a case, just like we're making by Mayim Pasuach, so too we're going to be making over here. But you're saying Mehechi Tesi, where there's Mamish Ariyah, then in such a case, who says that he'd be Mekel? And I agree with you, from the Togel Mervav is two Rayas. He brings another Raya and his second Raya as well. That's a nice point. Yefemot. Okay. All right, this concludes the Chumrah of the 3 days, and now we begin the sugya of Poleta Shechva Zera. We will build the sugya like the master builder. Who's the master builder in Halacha? The Beis Yosef. We will begin the sugya through as the Beis Yosef builds the sugya. The Beis Yosef begins in Kuf Tzad Yivav Yud Aleph. In Dibar Maskel Poleta Shechva Zera, he points out that the Gemara on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph teaches us that when it comes to Shechva Zera, when it comes to Shechva Zera, there we know that already there are psukim in the Torah that describe that Zera from a man is metame. However, and that we know, it's metame. But there are two different ways you could look at the fact that Zera is metame. Is it metame like every other form of Tumah, just like if a person would touch a Sheretz, then he become tame? Let's say a person touched an Avelas of Tahar, right? So he becomes Tameh, and then he'll go to the mikveh and will be Tahar after Harav Shemesh. So is that how you look at Shechva Zera? Or does Shechva Zera also have another component to it? The Tum of Shechva Zera has another component that also relates to Nida. Says the Gemara, on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph is quoted by the Beis Yosef, Boi Rami Bar Chama, Poleta Shechva Zera, Mahu Shetistar Beziva. What happens in regards to Pleita Shechva Zera? A woman had relations with a man, and the Zera, there is, of course, if a woman becomes pregnant, there was a sperm that will stay inside of her body, but there is a significant amount of semen that will come out. So she's touching that Ziva, so that Shechva Zera. So Mahu Shetister B'Ziva. If that comes out, is it not only metame her as a regular form of negia, or is it metame her in the sense that we look at it as a re'iyah as well? Rabbi Osai, let's process. A woman that's a zava gedola, she needs to count shiva nikiyim, right? She needs to count shiva nikiyim. So she begins to count. What would be sosa her shiva nikiyim if she bleeds zava, right? And every dam today we consider zava. Well, how do you look at pleita shechva zera? Is that also a form of bleeding of Tumah? It's a chakir and Shechva Zera. Is Shechva Zera just like Nevelas Ov? Is that what it is? Or is Shechva Zera a form of Re'iyah itself? This is not a Reb Chaim. This is a Gemara. That's the Gemara Shaila. The Gemara says, Mao Shetister B'Ziva, Roa Hava V'Sasra, Odilmo Nogas Hava. The fact that she's Tmeya because of Shechva Zera could be because she's an Ogas, or it's called a Re'iyah. If it's a Re'iyah, then that's Soser her Ziva. Now it comes out interesting Chiddush according to the side of the Gemara, that the Gemara is saying that when you need Shiva Nikiyim, you need Shiva Nikiyim from any Re'iyah. I might have thought that maybe you could call it a Re'iyah, but it's not Soser Shiva Nikiyim. No. The Gemara here is being Mechadish that when a woman has Shiva Nikiyim, so she's having Shiva Nikiyim from any form of Re'iyah. So that's if you say that halach in regards to Pleita Shechva Zera. Rabosai, Lekula or Lechumra? How do we come out? Lechumra. Hence, we're now about to introduce a lot of Chumras based on this initial chumra from the Gemara. The Gemara says that she's a roa. Okay, that's not the two chumras of pleita shichvazer. We're going to learn two different chumras. One is already going to be ascribed in the tour, and the other, and then elaborated upon by the Beis Yosef, and the other, the Beis Yosef will quote from the Trumas Hadashim. So, since we paskin that shichvazera is sosar shivanikiyim, now, in most instances, where is that going to come up? Woman's having tashmish before her shivanikiyim? Absolutely not. She's not having tashmish before her shivanikiyim. She's bleeding. If she's bleeding, she's not with her husband. But if she had tashmish right before she started bleeding, maybe the pleita shichvazera could be sosar. Now, the Gemara tells us and learns this out from Kabbalah Satorah, Al tikshu ala isha, etc., that pleita shichvazera is metame for 6 onas. For 3 full days, it will have chashivas. So now, the tour begins. Hapoleta shichvazera b'mei sfirasa, imu toch sheish onas l'shimusha, sosera sosa yom. As we spelled out, if it happens to be within 6 onas. Lufichach, hamishamish mitasa v'rasa, uposko b'bayom, eina matzcheles l'spar shimunikim. If there was a case of a woman who had tashmish, and then she saw in the same day, and she stopped. Now, in the world of theory, such a thing could exist. Doesn't happen when we have a woman with a normal period. She bleeds for 2, 3, 4 days, depends on who you ask. Well, you know, you ask the Aruch HaShulchan, he might say 2. But at the end of the day, she bleeds for more than just an hour. But in the case of the tour, he starts out with a case of a woman who had tashmish, then she began nida, and then she was paska. So that general rule of thumb is she needs to wait 3 full days. Shema tiflot, lest she come to be poet. Lefichach eina maschelas lispar ad yom chamish lishimusha. Kegon im shimsha b'matzai Shabbos eina maschelas lispar ad yom chamishi. De kaim alon ein shechazer masriyaks ad shiavala sheish onos shlomos me'ez le'ez. Vim Shimsha, here's the chash. This is going to be chumrah number 1. Vim Shimsha b'matzai Shabbos. What if she had relations on Matzai Shabbos? Upoletes lel revi. So Rabosai, let's get these days down. Rabosai, this must be clear, and if it's not, stop me. She had tashmish at 9 p.m. on Matzai Shabbos, and then her period began on 11 p.m. on Matzai Shabbos. So how much time does she need to wait before she could count her Shiva Nikim? The answer is that she needs 3 full days from 9 p.m. Matzai Shabbos. Okay. So what's 3 full days? 1 full day is Sunday night. Another full day is Monday night. A third is Tuesday night. So what do you want to do? By Tuesday night, you should say that she should be able to count, right? You can't. Because on Tuesday night, you want to say already that's her first of her Shiva Nikiyim. You can't because she might be poletes on Thursday night up until Tuesday night up until 9 p.m. Or even, yeah, up until 9 p.m. Because 9 p.m., at least until 9 p.m., because up until 9 p.m., she could be poleta shechvazera. That's within 24, 48, 72. That's within 72 hours of her tashmish. So at 8:30, let's say the sun goes down. Let's say the sun goes down at 7 o'clock. Still from 7 o'clock till 9, that's only 2 hours. I know it's 2 out of 22 hours, right? But nevertheless, in those 2 hours, she can be poleta shechvazera. And you need one more piece, Rabosai, and that is that once you're poletes in that period of time, then you lose the entire day of Shiva Nikiyim. It has to be that the Shiva Nikiyim is a 24-hour counting of Shiva Nikiyim. So now all of Tuesday, Wednesday is now gone because of those 2 hours. So that's Chumrah number 1. Chumrah number 1 is that you can't just simply count. You can't just simply count 72 hours and say 72 hours ends at 9 o'clock on Tuesday night. And then you have 22 hours of Tuesday, Wednesday. And then in such a case, you'll have that day as counted as Shiva Nikiyim, that day can't count as Shiva Nikiyim, so you lose Tuesday night. So that's why we're up to 4 days. Me'ikar Dedina, we're up to 4 days. Good? Clarifications, Rabbosai? All right. Great. Gishmak. So that's all we need before we get to the Shulchan Aruch. Zok deheilige mechaber. Ha'poileta shichazera mimei svirasa. Imu tol shosh sheish onos l'shimusha. Soisera soiseyoin. L'ficha chamishamish mitasa v'rasa achakach u'paska. Eina maschel slispar shimunikim ach yavrola sheish onos shleimos. You have to have 6 full onos. Shema tifla l'fichach ein maschas lispar ad yom chamishi l'shimosha. So then you can't count Tuesday night, Wednesday, and therefore you have to wait Thursday. So it means you wait 4 days. Now, obviously,
Wednesday night, Thursday.
Now, obviously, we could ask the question of what happens if she didn't have relations. The whole premise of our chumrah assumed that she had relations on Matzai Shabbos. But if she didn't have relations, so in such a case, then she should be fine. But we're going to see, that's going to be one of our low plugs. We're going to learn that most posts can learn that as a low plug, we're machmir. Okay, so continuing on, in the back into the mechaber. L'fichach ein maschel slispar ad yom chamishi shimusha, kigon im shim shabba motzai shabbos, ein maschel slispar ad yom chamishi. T'kai melon ein shich vazer masriach ad shiavro la sheshon shleimos, me'es la'es. So if she had relations, in our case, on 9 o'clock on Matzai Shabbos, upolta lel revi, and then she'll be polate up until 9 o'clock, kodem eish shimusha Matzai Shabbos, hadayini yimedes betoch ona shishas u'shimusha, viso seres hilkach, yom chamishi yir rishon l'sfirasa. The Taz spells this out very nicely in Sifkat and Hay, and I want to emphasize there's a line in the Taz that just concretizes something that I said that no one else spelled out clearly. The Taz, about 15 lines in or 12 lines in, says, in my edition, it's narrow lines, it might even be 4 or 5 lines in by you, V'chol yom naki tzara shia kulo naki, hein halayla hein hayom shebo. You lose Wednesday because Tuesday night, you still have to worry about poleta shichva zera. So this is chumrah number one of poleta shichva zera. Okay, so that's why we wait 4 days. Now, we're going to wait 5 days. We Ashkenazim are going to wait 5 days. But this is day 4. Continues the Ramah. Let's skip down to the Ramah. V'tifsok yom revi le'es erev. So then her hefsek tara would be on Wednesday afternoon, according to this calculation. V'yom chamishi olo minyan shiva. And then Thursday, she'd be able to begin her shiva nikiyim. Now the Ramah then introduces the chumrah of the Trumas Hadeshan. We could read it already in the Ramah. The Beis Yosef quoted it as well. Interestingly, the Beis Yosef omitted it. And the Ramah continues. He says, "V'yesha kasvu sheish lahamtin od yom echad." We need to add a 5th day. "Dahainu shlo taschel limnos ad yom shishi." She has to wait 5 full days. "V'hu yiyom rishon l'sfirasa." "D'chayshina," because we have a new chashash. "Shema tishamish biyom rishon bein hashmashos." She's going to have relations at 7 o'clock on Matzai Shabbos. "V'tizbar," and she's going to think that it was 6 o'clock. And what time did we say the sun went down? Sun went down in that case at 7. "V'tizbar shu yom," and she thinks, let's say the sun went down at 6:30, and she thinks it's at 6 o'clock. "V'efshe shu laila," but we know, or we're afraid, that it's already nighttime. "V'im tascha limnos yom chamishi, yetoch sheo sheinos l'shimusha." It's going to turn out that it's really still within the 6th onos. "Al ken yesh osif od yem achad, the mi'ata i'efshe lova lidei tos." So we have what we would call a chumrah, agabe chumrah. The first chumrah is the chumrah that every woman, whether she had relations or not on Matzai Shabbos, we have to worry about pleita shichla zera. That's even according to the mechaber, bepashtus. And then chumrah number two is that you have to wait an extra day. The Ramah then continues that people like chumras. So Ramah says, and then there were people who wanted to add another chumrah that didn't make any sense. V'yesh nashim shenogu l'hachmer od l'hamtin ad shiva yamim. There were some women that waited for 7 days. Maybe they got confused between the 7 days of Nida, the 7 days of Tumah, but they were waiting 7 full days. V'ein tam b'davar, Here we see the idea that ona is a mitzvah, and Rabbanim should treat it that way. Rabbanim should treat that. I told you one of the biggest joys I ever saw of Rav Nevensal was that case where he told a woman to go to a mikveh even though her husband was in the army and was far, far, far away, and it turned out that he was freed up and he was able to come home. And because Rav Nevensal told her to go to the mikveh, they were able to be together. And he had a tremendous simcha from that. So, v'hameikel niskar l'haktam atzol l'mitzvah, that husband and wife being together is a mitzvah. Continues the Ramah, v'yesh yikosu sh'achshav ein l'chalek bein shimsha im baila lo shimsha. So he says, and nowadays, we don't differentiate between whether they had relations on Matzoy Shabbos or not. By the way, it's unclear to me what the Mechaber would say about that question. Notice, the Mechaber doesn't have the Chumrah of the Tumas Hadeshen, and the Mechaber also doesn't spell out whether he's talking about whether it was Shimsha or not Shimsha. The Bach comments, in as quoted in the Shach, in Sif Katan Chaf, he says, "Delo plug Rabban." Let's start from the beginning of the Shach. "Delo plug Rabban, v'gazrin lo Shimsha atu Shimsha." So he says, even if there were no relations, and even though it's a chumra al gabei chumra. Now, on this chumra al gabei chumra, in other words, to add the fifth day, so here we have a very logical argument of the Bach. Comes along the Bach, look inside, chaf in the shach, because of the Bach, mi uhainu dafka kishe baila bi'ir. Even though the Tumas Hadeshen seemed to be Machmir, says the Bach, I think that all of these Chumras only start when you have a Chash Plei Kashich Vazera. Chumra number one and Chumra number two. Both of those Chumras are only if you have a Chash. But if Baila is not Be'ir, why would you have to be Choshesh and wait for day five? That's the opinion of the Bach. However, the Shach and most poskim disagree. Ve'ein dvar of Nirin, skipping a couple lines in the Shach. Talonoda, his raya that he had brought from the Tumas Hadeshen is not such a strong raya, he says. We'll leave aside that raya. And he says the custom is from the Chuvas Marik, Simen Lamed Hey, Shenasha Machmira Filu Ein Baalei Be'ir. So this is Halach Lamaisa. And that is that we wait 5 days. Whether they were together, as Ramah said, and even if Baila is not Be'ir, we are generally Machmir. However, with that being said, whenever you have a Chumrah al Gabe Chumrah, that doesn't mean that in cases of necessity, we don't do away with some of the Chumras. All of this is based on Mesorah. Now, in regards to Mesorah, let me point out, I'll start with the first. What I'm going to give you is five or six leniencies of Pleit HaShich Lezera. That's how we're going to build the rest of the shir. Five or six leniencies because this is Chumra al Gabe Chumra. But I'll start with the example of the No Debi Yehuda, where the No Debi Yehuda got very, very upset about a psak that in many ways one could argue makes a lot of sense. The Pisrei Tshuva quotes a No Debi Yehuda in Pezayin, where the No Debi Yehuda deals with the following shayla. Va'ayim b'tshuvas No Debi Yehuda. I'm going a little out of order in the Pisrei Tshuva because this No Debi Yehuda is a great way of framing what's at stake from the perspective of the Mesorah in dealing with this. Va'ayim b'tshuvas No Debi Yehuda. Shemora echad hora b'isha shetavla. Va'achar tfila. Kodam Shishimsha Rasa Dam Ubaila Haya Beir. So here we had a challenging situation. Sad's too strong of a word. A challenging situation. And that is a woman goes to the mikvah and Nebuch, she comes home and her period starts again. She wasn't even able to be with her husband. So Rabbo said, when was she last with her husband? She was last with her husband 12, 13 days ago, late, earliest. Okay? So there's no chashash of Pleit HaShich Vazera. So could we now be lenient and say when she has short periods, this woman, in other short cycles, and she bleeds very quickly, and this was like a terrible case that she started bleeding right away. So then, what did the Rav Paskin? He Paskin, you don't have to worry about Pleita Shichla Zera. Because he was Doresh Taima D'Gzera. The Taima D'Gzera is only when you have a Chashash of Pleita Shichla Zera. Now already, who told us that we're not Doresh Taima D'Gzera? This was itself a machlokus between the Bach and the Shach. The Shach says, we're not Doresh Taima D'Gzera, even if, I'm using that expression in quotes. I don't mean it, I'm not creating a new entry in Encyclopedia Talmudis. I'll let bigger Talmudim decide whether that we use the term Doresh Taima D'Gzera. But at the end of the day, what did the Shach tell us? Even if Baila's not Be'ir, so too over here. And look at the lashon of the Noda Behuda. V'kasev sheroli hamora zeh ligar benezifa. You should really give this Rav a very, very tough time. And I'm translating that softly. Avalola onsha. But you can't punish him because he's halachically right, but he's wrong. In other words, in the rules of halacha, there's no reason to worry about pleita shichla zera. On the other hand, you have to put him in his place. It seems that we see constantly in the sugya that these were chumras that had been accepted in Klal Yisrael, and to do away with them for reasons that were not significant, so then the poskim were very resistant. And the Noda Behuda says that this is not significant enough. Now, it happens to be that the Pischei Tshuva goes on and quotes a Mil Tzedakah and says that it is significant enough. And he has an interesting halachic argument that we were mefalpel and in Seder. I will discuss. It will be my pleasure to discuss with you. He calls a milsa lo shchiach lo gazra arbanan. That's very, very controversial to whether how his use of milsa lo shchicha. If I may even yav, and this gets back into our prusbel, what prusbel when there goes our lakarka, and how, what do you call milsa lo shchicha, and so on and so forth. So nachzor lin yonenu, the mil tzedakah is meikel. Now I did find just today, I wasn't aware of this, the Shevet Alevi. On page Shin Aleph, I believe, Shin Aleph in the Shevet Alevi edition in our Beis Medrash. At home, I have a different edition. But the Shevet Alevi quotes that he was Mekabel from the Chazon Ish LaHakel. So that's a collector's item that the Shevet Alevi quotes the Chazon Ish was Mekel. So we didn't start the fire. This has been a machlokis for a while as far as how this goes. And so here we see the next level moving over from the Shach and the Bach. We have that case. That's case number one. And I start out with that case because there you see the Noda Behuda is very, very concerned about changing the minhag of psak of chumras in Klal Yisrael. And this was a chumra that had been widely accepted in Ashkenaz. I forgot to research what's the standard accepted psak in for Sfaradin. Because in the Mechaber, you don't have it all, the Trumas Hadeshen, and even the Chiluk between Shimsha and Lo Shimsha doesn't appear as well in the Mechaber. So I owe you that. Okay, so that's Nafkamina, that's Hashlacha number one. Hashlacha number two, let's go back now, Keseder HaPoskim. We're going to talk about two different cases in the Kala. Sometimes people get confused because there are two different cases in the Poskim of Kala. Let's start with the Taz in Sifkatan Zayin, going on the same words of the Ramah that says not to be mechalik bin Shimsha and Lo Shimsha. The Taz presentation is that the Beis Yosef did not differentiate and was only machmir in the case of Shimsha. And then he quotes his father-in-law as the Bach as being Mekel when Baila's not Be'ir. Then he quotes, like the Shach had said, the Marik says that machmir, and he's then... The Taz then uses the words Umi Yachlok Al Minik. Taz says, no problem to disagree with his father-in-law. But to say Yachlok Al Mi Yachlok Al Minik, his father-in-law has no problem disagreeing with. But Umi Yachlok Al Minik, the Minik has always been to be Machmir. However, the Taz concludes, Sifkat and Zion, he says, I have the following Kula. And that is, what happens if a Kala is Pirsanida pretty close to her Chuppah? So, and then he talks about also if it was right after the chuppah before she was with her husband. Now everybody knows that she wasn't with her husband beforehand. She wasn't with a man beforehand. She's a kala. She wasn't with a man beforehand. So in such a case, you don't have the chash of pleita shichla zera. So Rabosai, this is important exception. The only time we're going to have this chash is in regards to a woman who there would be reason would be imbala. But if we're talking about kala, so then in such case you don't need to be choshesh for pleita shechvazera. If you don't have to be choshesh for pleita shechvazera, so then in such a case she could do her hefsek tara immediately and she doesn't need to wait 5 full days. So this is exception number 2, if you will. Exception number 1 was a big machlokes in a case of where she wasn't able to be with her husband and she was pores nida. That was the pischei tshuva at the end of tezayin. And nafkamina number application or exception, we'll call it exception. That was exception number 1. Exception number 2 is kala before her nida. Now, exception number 3 is also a kala, but on the other side of things, a kala after her tashmish with her husband for dam bisulim. So the taz in sifkatan hey tells us the following. Let's give a little background. We know that the halacha is that a woman is aser to a kala is aser to her husband after bia rishona, because we have to be concerned that the dam besulim is dam nida. So do you need to wait 5 full days before you start counting the shivanikim? We treat the dam besulim as if it's dam nida. So take a look at the taz in tenu dibra maschal at the end of sifkatan hey kvar kasafti b'shem maral mi prag. She doesn't need to wait the added chumra of the Trumas Hadeshen. In other words, this whole chumra that maybe was Bein Hashmashos and she thought it was day and it was really night, all of those things, we're dealing with the chumra as it is. What's the chumra as it is? Dam Besulim. Dam Besulim is not really Dam Nida. So that's already a chumrah. So I'm going to put chumrah, gavi chumrah, gavi chumrah, gavi chumrah. That we're not going to do. That's what the shach says. V'nir tamal kima de enkan dam nida rak b'dam besulim lo echmiru bo mishum tashmish bein hashmashos. We don't have this added chash of tashmish bein hashmashos that we saw earlier. So therefore, she's able to be toveles 4 days afterwards, and this is halacha lemaisa. Some people are not aware of it. Soferes. Thank you. She could be soferes. Thank you very much. She could be soferes for shivanikim 4 days later. Okay, that is exception number 3. Exception number 4 we have is yoledes. You take a look in the pischei tshuva. He says the following. He quotes the Dogam Revava. I'll skip the Dogam Revava. It's a Gishmak of Dogam Revava. Do it on your own. But I could say the practical application without the Dogam Revava. So I'm going to do it that way. It's in Dibra. It's as we said, Pischei Tshuva Tezayin is long. It's in the middle of the Pischei Tshuva. It starts with, I believe, a separate Dibra Maskel Umasha Kasav. He says, "Al pizeh horesi biyoleda shelo tavla toch mem lezachar upelin akeva ukekalas hayimea toar rasa de'ain svich lahamtin limnos shivnekiim at acher heyamim el miyad shetivsuk v'tar tucha lahachskel limnos shivnekiim to aid riyazu haysek gamkein tmeya mileda v'lo shayach chumrazu klal." If a woman was anyhow usher to be with her husband, then she doesn't need to wait 5 days. So, in the case of where a woman is bleeding, right? And so we say, after the onset of her bleeding, she needs to wait 5 full days. But if she anyhow was aser, like she was tmeya tumas yoledes, so then in such a case, she doesn't need to wait 5 full days. And that's pashut, because beforehand, she was aser to be with her husband anyhow as a yoledes. So bottom line, what does that mean, bottom line? Bottom line is that a woman who gives birth, since she was anyhow usher to be with her husband, because she was Tomas Leda, 7 for a boy, 14 days for a girl. So in such a case, whether she starts, when she, the halacha l'maisa, what we do is we wait till she stops bleeding, and then she does have sektara. But maybe you would say you have to wait after she stops bleeding. You have to wait 5 days. So the answer to that is no, that you don't have to calculate 5 days at all. She's be able, the moment in which she gets a Hefsek Tara, you don't have to worry about that period altogether. Yeah?
The fact that she halachically couldn't be with her wife is different from the low plug that she pragmatically.
Oh, so yeah, very good, very good, very good. What's the Omek HaSfar? So that gets back into, in other words, when do you say this low plug and when don't you say this low plug? That gets back into that Dalgam Ravava that I skipped. Take a look at Dalgam Ravava Sifkar Minchas. You're right. We haven't formulated exactly how that works. Okay, that was exception number. Let's count the exceptions we had. We had exception number one was when she went to the mikvah and she saw again. That was the first case of Pischichu. We had two cases of Kala, and then fourth case was the case of Yoledes. The fifth exception is the Pischichuva in Sifkatan Tesvav, and that is the case of where a woman is going to the mikvah on a Shabbos that is preceded by a Yom Tov. Leil Shabbos she'achar Yom Tov. So Yom Tov was Thursday night, Friday. And obviously in Chutz La'aretz you could actually have this even more dramatic, right? Because if you have 2 days of Yom Tov, then going into a Shabbos. So we're going to, Emir Tzah Hashem, discuss that the halacha is that chafifa is supposed to be done samuch l'tvila. Chafifa being the preparation of washing her hair and making sure that she has no chatzitzas. Now, in the time of Chazal, this was very, very important that ideally the chafifa should be done immediately prior to the tefillah because of the following phenomenon. If a woman didn't do the chafifa during the day, so then what happened was at night there was no light. So how does she know that she has no chatzitza? So, in once upon a time, I would imagine the mikvah lady went with a candle. And she would try to check if she had a chatzitza. But, so today, with electricity, it's less of a problem. But once upon a time, that was a big deal, that you did the chafifa during the day, and you do tevila at night. Oh. So, but what happens if her lel tevila is matzai Shabbos? So Chazal start getting worried. They say, you need to do the chafifa during the daytime. You can't do it on Matzai Shabbos. So when does she do the chafifa, we're going to learn? She does it on Friday. It's not so ideal. It's 25 hours between the tefillah and the chafifa. All right. Now what happens if it gets even worse? What happens if Yom Tov is Thursday night? So then when's she going to do the chafifa? She's going to do it on Wednesday afternoon. Oh boy. So that already is, you're already going to have 48 hours between the chafifa and the tefillah. So therefore, says the Pischei Tshuva, in a case of where you could move it up, you could move up her tevila and have her go to the mikvah on Friday night instead of Matzai Shabbos because she'll count 4 days before she starts her Shiva Nikiyim, then do that. Because what's on the other end? On the other end, the other possibility is a chash of chatzitza in her tevila. So what are we going to do? We're going to make this chumrah, the chumrah, gabi chumrah, gabi chumrah, because of pleita sheikh vazera, and then it's likely that this woman's going to have chatzitzas. It's better to get rid of this fifth day of the Trumas Hadeshen, and in such a case, have her go on Friday night. That's what the Shalah quotes. So Ramesha Feinstein's house, that was exception number. Who's keeping score, Sam? You keeping score?
That was school number five.
That was exception number five. Now we're up to exception number six. Yes, Josh?
Wouldn't it just make more sense, though, that nowadays, because of electricity, we could just do it after Shabbat?
Oh, so that's a question of whether we're going to get up to those halachas. In other words, nowadays, once you have electricity, then maybe those halachas should change. In fact, you know what should really change then? What you're advocating is that nowadays we should tell women, we shouldn't be as pressed for have women to do their preparations when it's still daytime, that they could do it at night. The problem is, there's another value, and that is we don't want women rushing. We don't want them rushing through the chafifa. So that's another reason to do it before Shkia. But you're pointing out, you're still making a good point, that nowadays, where the way I explained the chash of chatzitz is less of a chash than it was, then maybe you'd hold on to the chumrah. Okay, for the record, Josh is a big machmir. So he wants to hold on to the chumrah of pleita sheikh vazera. But I hear what you're saying. Once it's on the books, then in such a case we make them. Now, it's interesting to point out, I'm glad you stopped me with that question, because it reminded me that there's a knetch over here that's really important. The Pesach Teshuva has the following knetch. When was the Shalah Mekel? The Shalah is Mekel, and he says the following. This woman knows, help me with the math here, Rabosai, this woman knows that her Shiva Nikim will end on her seventh day, will be on Yom Tov. And so, right? So she already knows Yom Tov is coming, and she knows that she might... So let's do the math. 11 days prior, right? So this woman already knows that she might be going to the mikvah. So the Shalah's suggestion is she shouldn't have tashmish with her husband that night. In other words, then in such a case, you've solved the problem plate of Shichvazera. So here we're already being doresh taima da halacha in order to help another halacha. That's what the Shalah says. Comes along the Sidre Tahara, take a look in the Pisrei Tshuva. The ayim is Sidre Tahara, shekasa denira lo de b'kinidon kazeh, af b'shim sheyesh lahater. What happened? She didn't realize. She didn't realize. She didn't cheshbon how many days ahead? 11 days ahead. She didn't cheshbon 11 days ahead. And they had tashmish. Now do you have to be machmir? In other words, what would machmir mean? That she would have to go to mikvah on Matzai Shabbos as opposed to Friday night? The answer is no, according to Sidrei Tahara. The Shalah seems to be that you would have to be machmir. Sidrei Tahara says that at the end of the day, it's still a gzeira, because this is not a case of where it was Bein HaShemash or she had tashmish. She had tashmish the day before. So then in such a case, you don't have to be machmir. So that's a possible machlokas within this exception between the Shalah and the Sidrei Tahara. According to the Sidrei Tahara, it's even if they had tashmish. According to Shalah, on the books, he only gave the heter that they shouldn't have tashmish. Every once in a while, this is a shaila that a couple should ask a rav. Is that a reason for us not to have tashmish on that night? Because if we expect the period to be coming the next day, because of what will happen, pull out the shech vazer. Now, a lot of times you don't know when the period is coming. It depends on the woman. It depends on the situation. But that's something that should be kept in mind. Yeah?
You mentioned Rav Moshe Feinstein.
We're about to get to Rav Moshe. Comes along Rav Moshe Zatzal, and Rav Moshe extended this in very interesting ways. So Rav Moshe in Mar Mokom, Yardei, Chelek Dalet, Simin Yud Zayin, thanks to Shloimi. As Shloimi pointed out, that on the Mar Mokom there's a mistake. It should not say Chav Zayin, it should say Chav Beis, and Chav Gimel, actually. Both Chav Beis and Chav Gimel, and it's in your booklets. So Rav Moshe, look at that. Yeah, so it's the second to last page in your booklet. Chav Beis and Chav Gimel. Rav Moshe has the following shayla. Isha she'ein la banim, mituchel es'abe rakim titvol kodem lel yud gimel l'ri asa. Rav Moshe is discussing the following. This is what we call early ovulation. That there are women who... their cycles tend to be shorter, and they ovulate quite early. So we mentioned all the way in the first year in Hilchos Nida, we had to get the Metzias down, right? So we spoke about that a woman generally bleeds, a woman generally ovulates 13, 14, 15, 16 days after the onset of her period. Around that time. We saw a graph about that. Now, a woman who has shorter periods, so then she's more likely to ovulate earlier. So it's possible to have a woman with shorter cycles. When I say shorter period, I mean she has shorter cycles. In other words, the average woman that we're describing, her period starts on day 23 after her last period. Day 25, then 26 after her last period. Or 27 or 28. But there are women whose cycles go a lot earlier. In other words, she'll bleed 20 days afterwards. If that's so, then her ovulation also tends to be earlier as well. Could be as early as day 10, day 11, day 12. So Rav Moshe deals with a case in where her ovulation is just on the cusp. 12 days is too late, but if we could get her to a mikvah a day earlier, then that might be enough to be able to for her to become pregnant through natural means. So Rav Moshe comes out that one could be Mekel, based on this Shalah. He quotes the Shalah. Let's take a look halfway through that paragraph on page Kuf Tzadi Tes. He says, "Avol Iker Kedahevi Adivrei Malkiel Me'arach Hashonu She'ku Tzarek Gadol Lahatilo Haschelus Loshim Nikim Yom Hei that if there's a tzarek gadol, you could be mekli. He quotes this from the Aruch HaShulchan, and then he quotes our Shalah. Then he quotes the Sidrei Tara that says, even if they had tashmish, Ramesha says, Avol kishiyaduam et kilash etzarek lamtin rak dalin, gama Sidrei Tara yodesh etov shalot tashamish. So Ramesha says, in such a case, they know. This, by the way, often will happen. How will they know? They're often going for fertility procedures. It could be they're going to go for IVF on, then they got a heter from the Rav to go on day 12 after a period. So that's been scheduled 2 months in advance. So in such a case, says Rav Moshe, then might be, that might be a good idea that before day, what we would call day zero, before day one, when she's expecting her period, that they shouldn't have tashmish the night before. And then in such a case, then you certainly could rely on that leniency. Yeah. Couples with fertility challenges, this is the easiest that they have to go through just to be porish for a night before. Sometimes it's you should know, just stam, as Emir Tzashem, you'll be rabbonim and helping people who are going through these types of challenges. It's for some it mamish reaches the point of a gehenna on earth. It could be very, very challenging. First of all, the woman in these types of procedures, women have to take shots. And it's sometimes a couple times a day for different or hormonal type of things to help the ovulation and so on and so forth. Of course, the pain of the whole process and the odds when they go through a fertility procedures that they're successful are not that high. So sometimes couples have to go through many, many procedures before they actually are successful. So there could be many cycles where they go through a whole IVF process and so on, and it's not successful. So one should be aware and sensitive. So the reason it crossed my mind is Ramesha said that they shouldn't have tashmish the night before if they anticipate the period's going to start. In other words, in our cheshbon, let's say she's going to have the IVF procedure, let's say on day 11, so that means 12 days prior when she's anticipating her period to start to be poresh. That's one of the easier things that you might have to ask the couple to do. There are many, many more difficult things, unfortunately, that couples do have to go through. Okay, so that's what Ramesha writes in Chav Beis, and that's an application for this Noda B'Yehuda. This wasn't Noda B'Yehuda, the Shalah, and so on. In Chav Gimel, Ramesha has something really interesting. Says Ramesha in Chav Gimel, he says, what happens if the couple is, you have to have Ramesha's shoulders now, because keep in mind, I have the Noda B'Yehuda screaming in the back of my head. So Ramesha also did. But Ramesha knew how to deal with the Noda B'Yehuda. So Ramesha has the following. What happens if the couple's on vacation? So for you, those of you who are not Brooklyn people, so this is classic. This is a classic Brooklyn Shaila. And that is, Brooklyn empties out of all women and children on during the weeks of the summer. In fact, my wife and I were in the States and we went out to eat in the restaurant during the week. And the restaurants, Rav Shlomi knows this, the restaurants are full of working men during the week. We're on Essex and Coney. It was mamish, bursting at the seams. Mamish, we're talking about dozens and dozens of men whose wives and kids are all upstate in the Catskills. So Ramesh is talking about the following shayla. The husband's coming up for the weekend. To this day, it's common that they do. The husbands go up for the weekend. They're working during the week. They go up for the weekend. Now, the woman is still in her Shiva Nikiyam Thursday night, Friday, Matzai Shabbos. But the husband is off also on Sunday, and he could go back Monday morning. And Sunday night would be day 11, not day 12, from the onset of her period. So if she counted 4 days... This a couple could very much anticipate, right? They see when her period starts. They know when the weekends are. So if she counts 4 days before she starts her Shiva Nikiyam, then plus another 7, so then in such a case, then they'll be able to be together Sunday night. Now, Monday morning, he already has to go back to work. I don't remember if Ramesha has the exact same dates, but it doesn't matter. So in such a case, could you be meikel? So Ramesha says like this. Ramesha says, one off, you could be meikel. He says that for mitzvah sa'ona, he says you could rely on the shalah. And he said, therefore, what would that mean? They shouldn't have tashmish then 11, 12 days prior. They should not have tashmish, so you won't have the problem of pleita shichvas zera. But if you do that, then they'd be marviach. But Ramesha says, only once a summer. Ramesha says that he could only do this once. He's afraid that it'll be poritz geder to do such a thing. So this is Ramesh's beautiful balance. Ramesh is listening to Nadav Yehuda that he says for once a summer it'll be okay, but for more than that, to follow that leniency, it would not be enough. A very fascinating way for Ramesh to conclude this segment. Okay, Tom Vinishlam. There are a couple more halachos in Kuf Tzadik Vav. There's not really much that I think that's needed to add in terms of halacha l'maisa, but please do it on your own. In terms of Yud Beis and Yud Gimel, I don't think that there's much to add. And that's it. So now, B'siyat D'Shmaya, we have a Bechina on Kuf Pei Tes. Vestos, very, very straightforward. Vestos, Ksamim, and Shivim. So these are classics. As the